So, Chris, your Toronto Maple Leafs. Well, they're not your Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs. Sometimes I think they're yours. The Toronto Maple Leafs. 4-3 losers to Pittsburgh in overtime last night. They beat Tampa, beat Detroit, lost to Pittsburgh last night. I would think, I mean, those are two pretty good periods. I know you've got to play 60 minutes and all that, but, I thought the second and third period were, in terms of defensive responsibility, it might have been 40 of this team's best minutes this year.
Well, and certainly I think when you have the first period they did and falling behind the first minute, to rally back, is there's something to that, especially when you get a loser point, as they did in this case. And, you know, really, Jeff, when I look at these last three games since that 9-2 loss to Nashville, there's a lot to like about the way the Leafs have responded, because they've played three of the top four teams in the Eastern Conference and come away with 5 of 6 points out of those games. And really, I think we've seen a much higher level of commitment in that time. And that includes last night, where, you know, they did have a bit of a stumble out of the gate, but, you know, managed to right the ship and, you know, I think really do a lot of what they've been trying to do here for the last little bit.
You know, this, I'm not going to trace it all the way back to Salutegate, but you know what? I've had more than one person around the team, or, you know, people involved in broadcast, tell me they think there's something different about this team right now than there was before that incident. Hey, Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation pregame and postgame yesterday, and on this show, was talking about how, you know, he going back to Dion Phaneuf's news conference after that Detroit game, where they brought him into the interview room. And, I mean, I watched part of that interview. I wasn't there, but I watched part of it. Seldom have I seen Dion Phaneuf look that engaged, look that relaxed, look that in command of a situation. He always seems to me to be the type of guy who looks like his back's against the wall when he's dealing with the media. I don't know. Do you think that maybe something happened there? That maybe that was almost like a come-to-Jesus moment for the leadership core of that team?
Well, if it was, I mean, it's purely coincidental. You know,
sure.
That really, you know, I know for a fact came out of a lot of frustration from the players with what was going on, I think partially with their play, but a lot of the way they were perceived, that they were being, you know, covered by the media and being received by the fans. And, you know, that was just a frustration thing that happened. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But, you know, what it did is put a lot more attention on them, if that's even possible. And, you know, I think a little bit of pressure. And you know, you have to like, at least with on the ice, what you've seen in the response there. And you know, perhaps there is a bit of an us against the world mentality that came out of that entire thing, because, you know, what really the coaching staff has tried to do. And you know, to me, that's all wrapped in with the 6-2 loss in Buffalo and the 9-2 loss in Nashville, because the salute gate, so to speak, was the next game. Is, you know, the coaching staff started talking about the process rather than results. And I think that's why, you know, specifically to last night's game, even though they didn't get the win, they're still like the process, because they are limiting the amount of chances they're allowing against. And, you know, I don't think that was Jonathan Bernier's best effort, but if the Leafs can hold, you know, high-powered teams like Pittsburgh to 26 shots, I like their chances most nights with him in net.
Chris Johnson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. So Jonathan Bernier started last night instead of James Reimer, despite the fact that James Reimer's played pretty well against Pittsburgh. Jonathan Bernier played well. There was some criticism of him on the game-winning goal for being a little too deep in the net, but I think we can agree that Jonathan Bernier has very much looked like a number one goaltender in these past three games. So, Chris, I've got to ask you, is that debate now laid to rest?
Until the next series of bad losses, I suppose it is. I mean, it's clear that you know, coming out of last season, and that was the thought process. And, you know, it's certainly, we could term it his to lose. I mean, if he plays, you know, for the most part well enough over, you know, a stretch of games, it is going to be his. And, you know, you get a light week like this one where the Leafs played last Saturday, had a couple days off till last night's game, and then don't play again till Saturday. I mean, you're going to see Bernier get a run of starts. But, you know, as it is right now with the number of back-to-backs, you know, Reimer will be mostly getting those. And you know, again, unless you see any real bad struggles, you know, I think it is, you know, John and Bernier's job at this point. But, you know, this isn't a team that can afford to just, you know, have a label and stick with it. They're going to be in tough to make the playoffs. We all know that. And if he struggles at all, they'll go back to Reimer, I'm sure, for a prolonged stretch of games.
I think Randy keeps Lupul, Booth, and Trevor Smith together?
Yeah, I mean, that's the likely end game here. But I would think, you know, come Saturday when the Capitals show up you'll see the same formations just because, you know, I think it was effective enough last night. And I really think they want to ease both Joffre Lupo and especially David Booth back in with, you know, maybe more limited minutes. And, you know, having those guys down the lineup, and again, I look more specifically at Lupo because we know what he can do, and he hasn't had nearly as long a layoff as David Booth has, is, you know, if something isn't working in-game, it's kind of, you know, it's everyone basically above them in the lineup knows that they can be replaced by Lupo if, you know, things aren't working out. And, you know, my guess is that's sort of how it's going to organically happen. Either that or an injury, just, you know, by what happens in the NHL. But, you know, right now I think that they're comfortable having that as a fourth line because they were able to spread the forward minutes around a lot more. And as we know, that's been a real goal of this coaching staff this season.
Hey, Chris, we've always looked at Leo Komarov as being a gritty guy, a guy who's going to get in the greasy areas. And he's certainly done that. He's been a presence whenever he's on the ice. What do the Leafs coaching staff think his offensive upside is? Is there an offensive upside there?
I don't think there's too much of one, to be honest, and I don't believe they do either. I mean, right now he's had what we would call a string of fairly good luck. He's scoring he doesn't generate a lot of shots, and he's been scoring, you know, certainly more than was expected. I mean, we need only look to the 247 games he played in Russia in the KHL, which, you know, isn't the same level of competition as the NHL, and he only ever had two-goal games over there. So, you know, for him to get one in the NHL last night was, you know, a real, you know, for a guy that works hard, it's a real bonus, and it's something I know his teammates would like to see. But, you know, there's no real thought that I can see in having him play further up the lineup or on the power play or anything of that nature. I think right now they're comfortable with him as a guy who helps drive possession and is tough to play against, and he's a physical player. But, you know, I think, you know, he's really a third liner, and you know, when he contributes offensively, as we've seen this season with a lot of assists and the couple goals he scored last night, I mean, that's purely bonus for a team like the Leafs, because, you know, I don't think he was signed at all for his offensive abilities, and I wouldn't expect that he'll be able to keep this up over the course of a long season. He's just had a really good start, and, you know, maybe a bit of a lucky start as well on the offensive side of things.